Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight, the interview portion of the Spotlight. I, as always, am Steven Jensen with Jeremy Lambert. And today our guest is, in my opinion, one of the best kept secrets in professional wrestling, a real prospect and somebody I've been seeing a lot lately at Battle Slam out of the Atlanta, Georgia area. He's the Adonis, Richard King. Richard, thanks for joining us, man. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for that intro. That was a really kind thing to say.
Oh, no, I mean it, man. Like, and we're going to get into it during the interview, but that's something that I really wanted to highlight on today's talk, because you're somebody that I'm kind of surprised that I didn't know more about you prior to Battle Slam. So I definitely want to, you know, kind of hear about kind of, you know, kind of this journey you're on and kind of your goals and stuff in wrestling. But I guess first and foremost, Jeremy had let us know before the interview, he's feeling a little under the weather today. So Jeremy, hope you're feeling better by the time this airs. But yeah, just want to throw that out there for the people that are listening. Richard, you a lifelong wrestling fan?
Yeah, pretty much. I started watching when I was maybe like 3 or 4 with my dad. He used to show me like a lot of rock stuff. He was a huge superstar Billy Graham fan back in the day. But then I kind of like fell out of love with it for a while. I think there is that phase that maybe a lot of kids go through where it's like wrestling isn't cool anymore. You know, it's like you move on to something else and then, you know, finally come back to it eventually.
Let's talk about Battle Slam. Let's get into that. How did that all come about? We've had Baron Black on the show. Jensen is he's in the back pocket of Baron Black, I believe. But how did it all come about being part of the Battle Slam shows?
So I did AEW work for the first time, probably about a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer than that. And that's where I first met Baron. And honestly, at first, I think I told him this, but I was like, at first, I was like, I don't think this dude likes me. I'm like, he clowns on me every single time I see him. He's always got something to say about what I'm wearing. And I'm like, this dude just doesn't like me. And then for one of the first Battle Slam shows, he like hit me up about it and, you know, let me know what the whole deal was and this idea that he had to present me on the show. And I was game, you know. It was a bigger show for me to be on. It was a cool spotlight. I was going to be working some, you know, higher end indie guys and some vets like Caprice Coleman. So it was, you know, something that I couldn't say no to. It was just an amazing opportunity.
Are you out of Orlando, Georgia, or Orlando, Florida?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you drive from Orlando to around Atlanta for those Battle Slam shows?
Yeah, I drive up the day before or the day of in the morning.
Okay. Well, yeah. Something I definitely have noticed and I wanted to bring up, you have a lot of support around you. I noticed that your mom comes to the shows with you and she's at your merch table and
Definitely.
And I have a friend Ryan that I've met through the Battle Slam shows and I know that he got to talk to your mom a little bit at the merch table the other time. And I was kind of avoiding you a little bit because I wanted to talk to you on this show today. So I've been telling Ryan, I was like, I'm going to get to know Richard a little bit better when we talk. And then I'll approach him at the merch table and get some t-shirts and stuff the next time I see you. But what's it like having the support of your mom around? Because I feel like that's got to be just really great knowing that she's like supporting what you're doing.
No, it's fantastic. She's supported me and, you know, in any endeavor. Like, this is my career. This is what I want to do. And when I came to her with that when I was 16, I was like, I want to be a professional wrestler. I don't want to go to college. I don't want to take the path of, you know, a 9-to-5. I'm like, I want to be a professional wrestler. And she's like, well, if that's what you want to do, if that's what's going to make you happy, let's do it. And, you know, she helped me find a school and, you know, she helped me with that. And she's just been, you know, my rock ever since, helping me on the travels and with the merch and stuff and making sure everything's together. And, you know, she's like the second part of my act that no one gets to see, you know. Without her, it wouldn't be the same.
Well, if you're ever at a show that Richard is working on, you can spot his mom, because during his match, she'll be running all over the place, getting the best camera angles possible. Yep. On that iPhone. And I've been curious, do you use that as highlight tape and kind of like game footage, if you will? Like, cause she really films like from start to finish everything that you do.
So, I love, like, I critique myself, you know, probably more than, you know, maybe is healthy, but I want to know exactly what the match looked like and how it went as soon as I get done. And with some of these places, you know, if it's not live, then it could take a couple of weeks to get back footage from these indies places. So, you know, as soon as I get done with the match, I go over to the merch table, I pull out the phone and I'm, you know, going back and forth and looking at, okay, this could have been better. This could have been, you know, changed in that. But just recently I started taking that footage, because I used to just be for me, but I'm now putting it up on my YouTube channel as like a second version of whatever the official version is going to be, just so, you know, other people can see it. But it's mainly just for me to look back at and critique myself.
That's a good idea to have. I mean, I don't know if everybody can have their mom come to the indie shows to watch them, but to have someone just film the entire match and be like, hey, let me watch this so I can replay back. Because like you said, if it's not live, sometimes nobody sees any of this footage because it doesn't get out there.
Yeah, some indie shows, like, you show up and it's like, okay, who's recording? Oh, no one? All right.
Yeah. Cool. You're basically, at that point, you're relying on just other people to tell you how the match went. And I mean, that can obviously be helpful, especially if there's veterans who are at the shows, but you know, you want to look back and look at the game footage and see exactly what you did and what you can improve on.
Yeah, because sometimes you go up to people and they'll be like, oh, the match is great. And it's like, well, what could be improved? And they're like, ah, oh, the match is great. Like, they don't have anything. And it's like, well, I know there's something, so I got to look back myself and, you know, and see what, you know, what I can improve on.
Has there been any advice? So you've worked AEW, you've been in the ring with guys like Ortiz, with Brian Cage, you've worked BattleSlam, veterans around a lot of these shows. Has there been any advice from, whether it be one of them or somebody else, who've come up to you and be like, hey, this is good, this can be improved? Yeah. Any advice from veterans?
I think the biggest advice that I got, that I can't even point it to one person, but it was really just like, slow down. I used to wrestle a mile a minute. Like, I was just going like from spot to spot to spot. And I think a lot of the guys and girls get caught up in that when they're coming up. They just want to go from spot to spot. And, you know, there's a moment and place for that, but the character work and slowing down and really showing off why you're different from the other guy that's doing a dive out of the ring. Because at this point, anyone can wrestle. Like, we've seen it. Anyone can get in the ring. And if you're somewhat athletic, you can do this, right, with a proper training. But what separates people is, okay, can you make someone care about these in-between moments? Can you make them care about you and your character? So the match that you mentioned with Ortiz that I had at Dark that unfortunately was never aired, I actually, Ortiz and I got critiqued by Christopher Daniels. And it was kind of just like, hey, you guys went out there, you had a great technical match. Physically, it looked great. But character-wise, you need to show that more. And just more character. And like, from that point on, I was like, character, character, character. Like, I know I can be physical. I know I can do the physicality stuff and in the moves. So I'll kind of let, you know, the back of my mind just do that. But the forefront of my mind has to be on character, you know.
Okay, and that's a perfect segue, because I wanted to ask you about your character, because you seem very the opposite as a human being than what I see as a professional wrestler. And I'm curious about that. Like your entrance gear, like I think it's akin to like Okada, like the robe, and you look kind of like the Rainmaker. I think it looks pretty badass. And I know you've been kind of tweaking aspects and like trying to kind of mark down probably what works best for you. Where do the ideas for your character come from? And do you prefer being, because just right off the bat, like you see a guy like you, you're in incredible shape. I was going to ask about that as well. You absolutely look the part of a professional wrestler. You pass the looks test like immediately. You look like somebody. You look like a star when I see you. And then you put it all together in the ring. Absolutely. But then like, so it's one of those things like, do you kind of prefer being in that space of like being a heel and having people dislike you because of those things? Or do you think it can be motivating to see a guy like you and be like, oh, I can achieve being successful like this guy? Does that make sense?
I've always found it easier to be a heel for whatever reason. It's kind of like, you know, in a movie or a show, you're playing a part, you know, and you can kind of let loose this part of you that isn't your day to day. Like whenever I was a face, I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, is you just a generic, come on. Like, you know, it's just not me. So when I'm a heel, it feels just natural. I can take all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All the things that I've seen from like movies and TV shows and what I base my character on and just put it out there. And I feel like that's when I'm at my best.
Well, what are some of those influences? Like if you could like lock some of those down from like movies, TV shows, other wrestlers you take inspiration from?
So I think a friend of mine put it best. Like I was looking at a bunch of different stuff, but he put it best in that I'm Injustice Superman. Like this character that has this idealized version of himself. He thinks he's perfect. He is the Adonis. He has this God complex, right? He's up here. Everyone else is down here. And the way that I don't know if I've perfectly encapsulated this in my work, but it's a character that doesn't think he's the villain, you know? Right. It's like, I'm perfect. What do you mean I'm doing bad things? Why are you booing me? I'm perfect. I'm like, you should be on your feet, you know, like I'm here type thing. And Injustice Superman is very much like that. It's like, I'm in the right. What, you're crazy if you think that I'm in the wrong type thing.
It sounds very Homelander. If you've watched.
That too, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So,
like I always like a villain that isn't like a mustache twirling. Like I like a villain that's like, no, I'm right. You're wrong. Like even like a Thanos where it's like what I'm doing is mercy type thing.
Yeah. I want to circle back to AEW. How did that come about? I assume it was in Orlando, but how did it come about? Who contacted you or did you reach out to anybody?
I like when they first started doing dark stuff, I reached out to AEW and I just never got anything back. And then it wasn't until maybe like a year or so later, Sean Dean, the captain, reached out to me and my tag partner at the time and brought us up to Jacksonville for, I think it was like 2 days. It was like 2 days, maybe 1 or 2 days off. And then we were back for another 2 days. It was right before they went back on the road. So they were filming a bunch of dark. And funny enough, we were there for 4 days and didn't do anything. Like they just had us there. And it wasn't until like a few months later, they brought us to the Orlando tapings and had a match against Wardlow and Spears.
Now, were you given any reason as to why the Ortiz match did not end up airing?
I was. So the Dynamite episode that aired after those tapings, Ortiz shaved his head.
Oh,
that makes sense. Wow.
He shaved his head. And I was like, okay. Because I was told that before we went out there, I was like, they're like, hey, this match probably won't air because Ortiz is going to shave his head in a few days. So I was like, okay, cool.
So you knew going into that match that it's like, oh, we're going to do this, and it's possible that no one's actually going to see this except the people there, which you mentioned you got feedback from Christopher Daniels, which is great. But still, yeah. Going into the match, you knew like, hey, we might do this, and it might not be seen by the public.
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping to at least get like, hey, here's like footage, don't share it type thing, but I didn't get anything. I don't even know if the cameras are on.
We're gonna see if we can help you with that somehow. I would love to be able to get you that footage, especially for a guy who goes so out of his way to like make sure he's getting good footage. Like
I would love to see that match because I heard it was good, you know, like on a technical scale. So
when Sean Dean, you know, we see a lot of him at BattleSlam doing a lot in the Atlanta area as well. Would you like to speak a little bit more about him and some of the other performers that we've been seeing at BattleSlam? Because I think the product that y'all are putting on is like, it just kind of slept on in just the grand scheme of pro wrestling, I feel like. Like, the shows are really solid. They continue to get better and better. And, just some thoughts on Sean Dean and maybe some others you've been working with through BattleSlam.
Yeah, it's a crazy good talent pool that they have at BattleSlam. Like, Kevin Knight, I think, is a standout in the New Japan Dojo. Casey Navarro is fantastic. I've worked Chad Skywalker now. I think that was our third encounter. With the intergender tag match with Ashley, and then obviously Caprice Coleman getting in there with him, the ring vet that he is, was an awesome experience. He's just an amazing dude. He keeps bringing in people that I'm like surprised. I'm like, you got this dude? Like, you got this dude? I mean, Baron's got connections. He knows everyone. Bay was there. Chris Bay was there last show. It's something that I'm hoping continues to grow, you know.
Speaking of BattleSlam, you know, they combine wrestling and hip hop and music. We've seen Lil Scrappy throw down there. But like, what kind of music do you listen to? What's your go-to, whether it's a workout or driving or what kind of music do you listen to?
So I listen to hip hop and rap in the gym sometimes. Sometimes I'll put on like orchestral music. Like some really soft stuff if I'm doing maybe like arms or something that isn't as demanding. But honestly, I have a whole vinyl collection upstairs of Frank Sinatra, Bobby Vinton, Ricky Nelson, the Ink Spots, the Platters. Like that's like really my bread and butter right there.
Okay, I got to know more about vinyl because you're young. And I feel like the young generation, they're not typically into that. So like, what got you started on the vinyl?
Fallout. I have a Fallout 3 tattoo.
Okay.
It was Fallout 3 was my first Fallout game, and like the soundtrack to that it hooked me at the young age of 8. I was like, this is my stuff.
Wow, I would not expect someone your age to be like, yeah, got a nice vinyl collection going on. Yeah. That's awesome. Especially Sinatra.
Flea markets are the place to go for it. There's this place up in, it's in between Sebastian and Vero Beach. The name of the town is slipping my mind. But this dude, this older guy, has this giant booth in the flea market just filled with any kind of vinyl that you could possibly want. And that's where I go for my stuff.
Nice. That's very interesting to hear that you're into vinyl. That's awesome. What kind of hip hop artist do you listen to?
I mean, you got the classics: Tupac, Biggie, Coolio. Who else do I have? Kool & the Gang. Listen to Kool & the Gang sometimes. This isn't hip hop, but I just started. What's the Mariah Carey song? Not the Christmas one.
Fantasy?
Yes.
Oh, Will Washington! Will Washington! Sorry.
I've been playing that on loop during my workouts. I don't know, someone about that song will just push you through a set of bench. Like, I don't know. My girlfriend doesn't get it. My other friends don't get it. They try it. And I'm like, bro, there's just something about it. I don't know.
That is a great song. Will Washington, who hosts Graph City here on the channel, huge Mariah Carey fan. So,
but that's the thing. I'm not even a big Mariah Carey fan. It's just that one song where I'm like, if you play her Christmas song, I'm like, get that out of here. But the Fantasy, you know,
that is a really good song. That's a great song. I love Taylor Swift, so
I'll mess with Taylor Swift too. I was listening to Katy Perry when I was hitting chess today.
There you go.
Like, okay. You know,
they make good like kind of upbeat music.
Exactly.
If you're doing I do a lot of running, and so some of those songs like very nice to run to, depending.
Yeah, that's
if you're trying to go perfect. Like slow, or if you need to pick it up a little bit.
Exactly, like whatever gets you through the workout, you know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of those workouts, what kind of advice would you have for somebody if someone were to be like, hey, I want to look like you? Like, I know that's a very, you can't, it's not just, it's a very layered answer, I'm sure. But like, yeah. What kind of advice would you give somebody to get in like good shape like you are in?
I get this question a lot. Like people DM me it a lot. And I don't know, I kind of find it funny sometimes because I don't see myself as like a big or an in shape guy. I got bad, like, honestly, I have bad body dysmorphia. I look at myself and I'm like, bro, you could improve here, and here. But by what people are telling me, I'm in pretty good shape. So honestly, it's really consistency, like staying consistent in the gym, staying consistent with your food. I use my Fitness Pal, which is a food tracker. You can track all your calories. And that's where a lot of people mess up. A lot of people are like, I can't lose weight. You know, I'm eating so little. And I'm like, well, did you track your calories? Because you're probably actually eating like 4,000 calories. You might think you're only eating, you know, 2,000 because you eat twice a day, but those two meals are huge, you know, or they're really calorie dense. So tracking your calories and making sure you're on point from day to day. And then just staying consistent in the gym, you know, like not everyone needs to go in there and train like a bodybuilder or a power lifter. Just going in there, you know, hitting your sets, trying to push yourself from day to day. And you're going to see improvement. You know, it's impossible to go in there and push yourself and then also stay consistent with the diet and not see improvement. You're going to see improvement, you know.
Do you have like a favorite exercise or anything that you would recommend to somebody to try out?
I love bent over barbell rows. That's what's grown my back the most, that and weighted pull-ups. I used to love deadlifting a lot, but just like from wrestling and then gym, and I used to do judo a lot and then wrestling in high school. Just it's too much on the back to where like I've slowed down on that a lot. I've been loving incline bench on the Smith press. Like you can really take your time on it. You can slow down on that eccentric and then, you know, fire off, or you can do pause sets on it and you don't have to worry about failure because you can just re-rack it whenever you need to. Seated shoulder press, any sort of seated shoulder press. I love working shoulders. Honestly, I could talk about the gym all day. I love bodybuilding, especially the golden age with Arnold and Frank Zane and, you know, Columbo and, you know, I can sit there and watch Pumping Iron over and over again.
See, we are not the guys to talk about bodybuilding. I remember the last time I saw the inside of the gym. I'm all cardio.
I've seen some of those documentaries though. It's fascinating. Like Kai Greene was like a really, really interesting guy.
Yeah.
You know, like really deep, like intellectually, but like, yeah, like I think that stuff's fascinating. And also I did want to ask, I didn't want to forget, you had mentioned, you know, the Fallout tattoo, of course. Other favorite video games? I got to hear some of your favorites.
Chrono Trigger might be like top three. Borderlands 2. I mean the whole series, but really Borderlands 2. Fallout New Vegas is my favorite Fallout. Fallout 3 is my first, but New Vegas is it's top tier. I mean, I'm a Call of Duty fan too. I haven't picked up the newest one yet, Modern Warfare 2. I haven't, but I'm waiting on it. Pokemon. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. Played every single one.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Cyndaquil.
Okay. I can't remember what Baron's answer was. We asked Baron who his favorite was. And I can't
probably
remember
some trash answer. Answer like.
There you go. We'll clip that. There you go.
Hey, who's your starter Pokemon? Who's your starter?
My starter?
Yeah.
I mean, if Cyndaquil is an option, it's Cyndaquil. But Squirtle too. I'm a big Blastoise fan.
See, when I think the original stuff. I guess nowadays they have a bunch of different. I'm old.
If the Gen 1, it's Squirtle. I mean, people people love Charmander, honestly, like Charmeleon's trash. And then Bulbasaur, it's like, God, what are you doing with a grass starter?
Who picks a grass starter? Never understood that. True. See, Charmeleon, fine, but like Charizard was still a beast. Like, you can't.
Oh, yeah, Charizard's still a beast, but you got to deal with Charmeleon, you know, and like that's like your 10 levels. Get out of here.
That's fair. That's fair. But I think the new Pokemon game is coming out. Like, there's another one
coming out. Yes, it's coming out on the 18th. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Only 3 days.
Yeah.
One of the kids is like very excited to get this thing. We're like, wait till Christmas, wait till Christmas. He's like, no, I need this thing now.
Yeah. That I have a Switch just for Pokemon games. Like, that's why I have a Switch. I only own Mario Kart and Breath of the Wild. Everything else is Pokemon. And the same with my DS. When I bought a DS, I bought it for Pokemon. You know,
that's legitimately why I bought my DS, is to play Pokemon. And because I miss the original, just like the Game Boy, playing it on that all the time as a kid.
Sucks is they don't even, like, the Switch was a perfect system for them to re-release all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
And they just don't.
Yeah.
They're like, you want to play the old one? Go, I don't know, go find a Game Boy. You know?
That's so true. I've got a Switch as well, and I'm interested. I used to love Pokemon when I was younger, and like I still like dip in every now and then, especially when it comes to like the cards and collectibles and stuff like that. Mm. But I might have to grab this new game, because I'm kind of like you. I have Mario Kart for my Switch. I've had it for years. I got Mario Kart, and I have Fortnite on, you know, every platform, and it's like that's pretty much like what I use my Switch for. Is like, if I want to play Fortnite like on the go, I can take my Switch with me instead of using my Xbox. But I need to get more stuff for my Switch, and
there are a lot of good games. There are a lot of good games for the Switch. I just haven't dived into it, you know.
Yeah,
like I know people praise Mario Odyssey. I haven't tried it. I'm not
that one's good.
A big Mario fan, but yeah. I heard that one was good.
This is very much a Mario family, and they are always playing the Mario. They love the Mario Odyssey, Mario U. They're big fans of. So I get to see them. I mean, the kids are excited, so like I'm excited because of that, but I don't get out to go see a lot of movies, so anything that's going to pique their interest, I'll be excited for.
Okay. What about that Chris Pratt as Mario?
It's not my cup of tea, but you know, what can you do? Yeah. I don't like mind Chris Pratt. I guess he has other things going on that aren't great, but I don't mind Chris Pratt. He'll always be Andy from Parks and Rec to me. That's how I just always see him.
See, I never watched Parks and Rec, so to me, he's just Star-Lord.
Same for me. Oh, Star-Lord, okay. Yeah.
See, I can't unsee the Parks and Rec stuff for the Marvel stuff. Just can't do it.
I mean, the transformation, though, from him and Parks and Rec to crazy.
Yeah, it is very, very much insane. Okay, well, now, like, what are some of your favorite movies?
You say favorite movies?
Yeah, movies.
I always tell people my favorite movie of all time is Forrest Gump. I don't know if that's true though. It's up there, but The Dark Knight is a fantastic movie. I love that. I love Batman. A Cure for Wellness is a really good, like, low budget psychological horror movie that I really like. That and Shutter Island is a movie that I think everyone should see.
That's good. Yeah,
Shutter Island is so good. Like, and if you haven't seen it, I don't want to say anything about it, because I feel like saying anything about it is a spoiler. But it's a movie that you can watch twice and have very different perspectives on it both times.
Yeah, I saw Shutter Island when it first came out, and it was definitely kind of a little bit of a mind trip. That one and Inception are always like, can you make heads or tails of either one? Shutter Island's a good shot, though.
Speaking of horror, the first Halloween is one of my all-time favorites too.
Okay, so are you up on the Halloween franchise? Have you seen Halloween Ends? Or I guess
unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately.
I've heard that it's not great. I've heard that it's not great, and people were not happy with it.
It's better than Kills. It's better than the last one. Okay. I can say that, but it's almost, I don't know, maybe it was just the mood that I was in when I was watching it, but it's almost a comedy.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's... there's a tag team in it, like an act, like almost a legitimate tag team, and it's kind of funny.
See, we need, I think that should be a genre though. We need like kind of Halloween comedies. They take Christmas and now they got like Christmas horror with Santa and going around murdering people. There's that new one that's coming out. There's the infamous Goldberg one, Santa's Sleigh, where Goldberg is Santa killing a bunch of people. A Halloween comedy, I feel like, is an untapped market.
I think it's even better that it was unintentional. Like they try to make something serious and it was just funny. I mean, we kind of had that with like a scary movie, you know, but it's just, it's a genre that doesn't really exist anymore, you know.
That's just a parody genre to me. That's not just so much of like Halloween comedy, but I can see how a scary movie like fits that bill.
Is the new Terrifier movie I heard is like has comedy in it a little bit.
The new one with I think Chris Jericho has like a scene or two in that one. Oh, so I've seen promotion for it. I'm not a horror person. I can't really do it. So not my cup of tea. How about go ahead. I was gonna ask about now television shows since we've kind of run through.
For sure.
Well, most recently I finished House of Dragons, which I thought was great. All up to date on the Marvel TV shows. Daredevil season one is still the best Marvel show there is out there. Dragon Ball. I mean, I grew up watching Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, watching the reruns on Cartoon Network, you know.
That is fascinating to me. That, I mean, Dragon Ball has been around since, you know, we were younger.
Yeah.
And now it's still this thing. Again, the kids will watch that and I'm just like, this is still a thing. Same with Pokemon, still love it.
And the test of time.
What's funny is I didn't grow up watching the Pokemon show though. Like
maybe I'm wrong, but like I don't feel like the show was that popular even when we were kids. Like it was always the games to me.
Yeah, it was the game and the cards and that Martin was talked about, you know.
Yeah, that really was, because it was so innovative too, because like back then when people had, that was also during the era where like it was going from like the green Game Boy screens to like the Game Boy colors and stuff. So like portable gaming was becoming a little better too. And I remember being mind blown when, I don't know if you remember this, Jeremy, but you used to be able to take a cord that would link your Game Boy to someone else's Game Boy. And you could trade Pokemon that way. And like in elementary school for us, that was like the coolest thing you could fathom, right? Was trading Pokemon from game to game. And I was very big into the cards and I actually still have some of them here in my office.
I was that kid that didn't have any friends that played Pokemon, so I always had a Kadabra. I couldn't evolve it to an Alakazam. Legit, when I was in middle school, I had two DSs, so I could trade with myself. That's sad. I would trade with myself so I could get a Gengar and stuff. Like, that's how it was.
This is very disappointing to hear. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't anybody your friend, Richard? What happened?
Well, it's not that I didn't have any friends, but like, I don't know, I guess by the time, like when I was in middle school, Pokemon was starting to like phase out, you know, people weren't on the playground trading with Pokemon anymore, you know?
Right.
That totally makes sense actually. Cause how old are you, Richard?
22.
Yeah. That totally makes sense. What were like the biggest things like fad wise for you coming up?
I mean, probably everyone talking about like Call of Duty and Halo, honestly.
Yeah. And like YouTube getting big.
Yeah. Yeah. Like YouTube. I remember maybe it was just a school I went to, but like a lot of sneakerheads, you know, just like that's what kids were comparing was their sneakers. And I'm like, I got Converse. Like, I don't really care about your Jordans.
Those things hold up though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're timeless. Good.
I even missed the boat on Yu-Gi-Oh. Like I was a huge Yu-Gi-Oh kid and I was like, I'd bring my deck to school and there'd be like one or two other kids in the whole school that played Yu-Gi-Oh. And I'm like, man, I missed the mark, I guess.
I'm gonna circle back to wrestling here. What are some of your goals? I mean, you're 22, you have hopefully a long career ahead of you, but what are some of your short-term and long-term goals in wrestling?
I mean, short term, I just like, I want to get out there more. You know, I've been traveling up to New York and Rhode Island. You mentioned the match with Cage and Flip. that was up north in XWA, trying to do more stuff like that. And then just trying to get better, whether it's physique wise or in the gym, just trying to improve wherever I can. And then long term is, I mean, I think it's probably the same for most people. They want to be on the big stage, you know, whether that's WWE or AEW or New Japan, Impact, just to be at the top of your industry. I think if you're not striving for that, then you probably don't care too much about making it a career. I mean, I don't know, maybe other people have different, you know, end goals and in mind, but if you want to do this as a career, that has to be one of the end goals, is to be at one of the big places.
To kind of go along with that, who are some of the people that you, I guess, your dream matches, if you will, people that you haven't gotten to wrestle yet that you really, really want to?
Man, I mean, my number one is Edge, which it sucks that probably won't happen, considering like he probably won't be working for that much longer, and I think he's, you know, has a very limited pool list of who he's going to work. But that's who I grew up watching. Even when I got back into wrestling, you know, like Edge is my number one guy. Styles, Balor, over in AEW, Kenny Omega. He's someone that when I got back into wrestling, like I was watching all his stuff and kind of getting caught up on everything. You mentioned earlier that I had that similar look to Okada. Okada would be he doesn't have a bad match.
Right.
You know, yeah. So I could go in there with full confidence. I'm like, whatever happens, we're going to come out on the other side and it's going to be good because it's Okada, you know? Well, what sucks though, is that like a lot of those guys, they're on the older side, you know? So it's like, okay, if I want those matches, I got to get to those places quick, you know?
Sure. Well, and also it's worth mentioning that, it's hard for me to remember because I go to these Battle Slam shows live and then like which ones air when and what I'm seeing versus what airs on, you know, Fight and everything. But after a recent Battle Slam show, I know you said Baron's always clowning on you and stuff, but after the show where he won the championship, he on the microphone was giving props to a lot of people, but you were one of the people you really kind of honed in on, it felt like, and saying like Richard King is a guy that like people aren't talking about, but should be. And like, he's really showing out here. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but what did it feel like getting kind of that nod of approval from Baron that night?
I mean, Baron is can be a man of very few words. And so when he said that, I was kind of like, I was surprised that he said anything. And after the show, I went up to him and I was like, hey man, I appreciate you, you know, really saying those things. And of course it's Baron. So he's like, let me stop with that soft shit. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to, you know, give you your flowers, dude. But that's just him. That's just his personality. But yeah, it meant a good deal to me that he said those things.
Now are you, BattleSlam has their next event next weekend, right? Like, yeah, you been announced for a match that, do you know who you're working for that event?
I have no clue. I have no clue. All I know is that the start time is 11 p.m., which is crazy late. But in terms of what I'm doing, I do not know. It's on the 27th.
Yeah, so it's going to be a wild day for that. A lot of that crew, because Championship District Wrestling, which is also run by Nightmare Factory students, is running that same afternoon out of the district in Atlanta, and then they're going to be taking that same ring and then moving it to the venue for Battle Slam later that night and setting up and doing that show that night. So I'll be at Championship District Wrestling doing a little commentary, and I'd like to make it a Battle Slam, but I got to work a shoot job the next day in the morning. I just don't know if I can do a show that starts at 11 PM.
Sick. You're sick that day.
Right?
You know. It's right after the holidays,
That's the problem. Is like, someone at work might see this, but like, I was kind of going to try to do that, but everyone's already like well in advance have asked for that day off already. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm hoping I can make it out.
Family emergency.
See, I'm trying to, I know you're doing commentary for your district. Like, I'm trying to get it set up to where you get punched and then you're not going to be able to make the show, because you'll have like, or to make the shoot job the next day, because you'll have like a concussion. I don't need anybody to hit you that hard, but you will be injured. so you can't go to your shoot job. Yeah, exactly. He's like, he's too injured to actually do work the shoot job, but you could still make the battle slam later.
If you need that, I got you. I got you.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. If I need somebody to lay one in on me, I'll appreciate that.
Go. Richard, we'll get you out of here on this. So we ask everybody, what is the coolest thing in your room?
In my room?
In your room, in the house that you're in, just kind of the coolest thing that you own. You have to get
We want to see it.
You gotta get it.
Oh, it's upstairs.
It's upstairs. We're used to that. Okay.
Man. Every single time. They gotta go.
I love that. Get this good thing. Guy, man. Richard's a very, very nice guy.
I hope it's a vinyl record. I feel like that's what he's gonna get. Once he said that he was into like vinyl, I feel like he's gonna come back with some type of vinyl record.
I feel like that too, but like he's talking a lot about like collectibles and stuff. Like, you know, maybe he goes like some sort of Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or Dragon Ball type scenario. We'll see. It's funny because he'll watch this back and he'll hear our conversation about like us speculating what's he bringing back. What's the coolest thing in his room?
All right, here we go. Here it is. Reveal.
Okay, I got the thing.
All right.
So this is a Star Wars clock. Oh. And you might think, well, this is just a normal clock. It's the shape of the Millennium Falcon. But it's actually an old record.
Oh.
That was laser cut. And it's in Russian for some reason.
Very
so cool. I got this as a gift probably two years ago. And I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen someone laser cut a record.
Yeah.
It doesn't even like the battery's dead, so it's not even telling the right time. But this was the first thing that came to mind when you asked that. So there you go.
So we were debating off air as you were getting that. I thought you were gonna go something vinyl. Jensen thought you were gonna go some type of collectible. And it turns out you went both. Like you combined it.
I have a vinyl collectible
there.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice. Richard, let everyone know what you got coming up, where they can find you at, anything you want to get out there to plug.
So like you said, I got the Battle Slam show coming up on the 27th. In December, we have FIP coming up, Full Impact Pro, down here in Florida. We also have Pro Wrestling Action, which is in December as well. All of these posters are on my page. And then you can also find me at True Richard King. Most places, or Richard King Official. Subscribe to my new YouTube channel. I just started uploading pretty consistently. I've been uploading either wrestling videos or workout videos. You can find me on YouTube at Richard King. So that's what's going on.
You want to, Jeremy, we can put the YouTube link in the description
for him. Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Easily.
Yeah, send you guys everything.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck at Battle Slam when you don't know who you're facing. Maybe Baron will stop being a coward and he'll give you a shot at the title.
Man, Baron, he's got the number one contender now. You know,
He said he wasn't going to face shoot.
Not yet. He's going to make shoot wait. It sounds like so. I don't know who's going to be on this show. Yeah, it might be you.
Maybe
pay him back for all the times he's been joking around and been mean to you. Get some revenge on that.
Exactly. I wore these leather pants once to AEW. I legit wasn't even out of the car fully yet, and he was already clowning on me. I'm like, yo. I'll show up in those.
he is. For what it's worth, like I thought for the longest time Baron didn't like me either. And it turns out that it just I guess he did. Like we get along great, you know. It's just I got that vibe also at the beginning too, and for whatever it's worth.
The thing, I think if he clowns you, that means he likes you.
That's sometimes like how it goes with certain relationships. Like I kind of feel the same way. The people I joke around with and kind of make fun of the most are the people that I love the most. So
yeah, exactly. If you're comfortable with someone, you know, you'll like that a bit more.
Right, exactly. Well, Richard, again, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Everyone give him a follow at True Richard King. Check out the YouTube channel. It's all down there in the description and the link below. Richard, thank you again for joining us. Guys, we'll be right back here on The Spotlight.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.